Patriots Football Weekly is delivered to you by W.B. Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but W.B. Mason? Morning Meeting, brought to you by Verizon. Better matters.
Well, guys, what do you think about the Drive for Five bus?
It's luxurious. It's nice for an afternoon. Not so sure I'd like it 4 or 5 days into a trip.
I would love it. And I know the people that were on the bus and took the trip from Gillette all the way down here to Houston had a great time. And it was kind of like the trip the Patriots had. It was, you know, adventurous, if you would say, over the season. A lot of ups and downs, but the Patriots are finally here in Houston to play the Falcons. What do you guys think?
I love when Freddie gets deep and philosophical.
Yes. Well, it's kind of like the Patriots' journey.
And Jamie Collins was a speed bump along the way.
Okay, I'll go there. But, you know, right now the spreads are like 3 points, so people are thinking this is going to be a close game. What do you guys think?
Yeah, you know, I'm not so sure I think that. But I do agree that the Patriots had, even though they went 14-2, and on the surface it doesn't look like they had anything really get in the way. They did have some moments during the course of the year, some questionable kind of fork in the road kind of things. Andy brought up jokingly the Jamie Collins trade. That's the biggest one in my opinion. But, you know, and then after that, you know, the Seattle loss, you know, the first loss with Brady on the field and, you know, giving up 31 points. But since that point, the defense has been totally different, and I think that's changed the team from a really good team to, I think, the prohibitive favorite.
You know, we've been down here for almost a week now. And I just think it's interesting to see the two teams and the various media access. I think both teams are very similar this year in terms of how they're addressing the media, the way they're answering questions. We're in a lot of Super Bowls past, Patriots and other teams. One team has sort of one personality and the other team has another one. You know, maybe one's cocky and one's straightforward. I think this time, both of them are pretty much the same when it comes to at least the answers that they're giving. They're all saying the right things.
Yeah, I think you know what the Patriots are. That's well established over the years, and it trickles down from Belichick and Brady. So I'm not surprised the way they've handled it. They've handled it well. They've handled it like a team that's been here before, right? And maybe you'll be here again. The Falcons are the newcomers, and so the coach, the quarterback, but certainly Matt Ryan is as, you see him in those suits when he enters the stadium.
Right.
He's as buttoned up as you're going to get. And I don't think they have a lot of guys, even their stars. I think the closest thing you have to sort of a showman is Freeman, Devontae Freeman, the running back. And he made some comments about, you know, the Patriots need to pick their poison and we can do whatever we want to do. We'll let them decide what we're going to do to them. But other than that, I think the bulk of their team is either too young and afraid to do something stupid, or it's not their personality to go outward.
Well, and I think a lot of coaches reflect the personality of their head coach. And even though Quinn came from Seattle and Pete Carroll, rah-rah, I think Quinn's not that kind of guy. I think he's kind of straight-laced,
right,
too.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And I think that he is definitely is not one of those Pete Carroll guys where he's wearing his emotions on his sleeve, ranting and raving up and down, chewing the gum 1,000 miles an hour. He is definitely more. He's more like Belichick. I think you're right. And I don't know if he can coach like Bill. Way too early to tell, make that kind of a comparison. But I do think that he goes about his business. And it was interesting listening to the stuff out of the Atlanta camp and just how much it echoed what Dan Quinn was saying, and that's what we've seen here in Foxborough for 17 years. The message that Bill gives the team early in the week is what we hear parroted all the way through just a regular game week, let alone a Super Bowl week. Where it's going to come, though, Freddie, to me, I think they've handled, the Falcons have handled this stuff reasonably well during the course of the week, but the game is just so different, and you just have no way of knowing.
Well, that was my next question. Similar in comportment, but what about play? What about once we get on the field? How do these two teams differ? And if there's an edge to be had, who has it?
Well, I certainly think the edge is the Patriots' defense. You know, that the two offenses can score. You know, they're top five offenses with MVP candidate quarterbacks who can throw the ball all over the field. I don't think either quarterback, Matt Ryan, is not in Brady's category, but he's having a great year. This year in and of itself has been phenomenal, the postseason. I'm not sure you can confuse him or fluster him or any of that. But you look at the defenses. The Patriots have a veteran defense that's been together for the most part a long time, sort of the core of that defense, and they led the league in points allowed. And that's a strength. The Falcons are a young defense that has, you know, 7, 8, 9 guys that are first or second year players that give up a lot of points, give up a lot of yards. To me, they're the focal point of concern. If you're a Falcons fan, can my young defense compete? And I don't know the answer to that.
And one of the things that has me really optimistic about the Patriots' chances in that regard is these young guys, again, back to the game. And Bill Belichick talked about it. He acknowledged that the game is different because of the pacing of the game. He called it the pacing of the game. But just you go out there for pregame warm-ups and the stands are full. It's not like any other game. And you see so many guys empty the tank. Teddy Bruschi used to talk about that. You'd look over and guys would be hooting and hollering. It's like 2 hours before kickoff. What do you have left? And Bill mentioned, I think, this week, the third quarter. You feel like the game should be over, and it's still only the third quarter. A lot of young guys, a lot of emotional young guys, fast, speed-based defense. Do they get tired? You know, do they get tired?
And I think
that
happens a lot. I absolutely think it happens a lot.
The flip side of that is, back in 2001, you had a young quarterback named Tom Brady, and what did he do? Famously, took a nap. They went out for warm-ups, then he went back to the locker room and took a nap for a while. Right. The moment wasn't too big. He wasn't expending too much energy. He was relaxing and getting ready for the game. So that's the uncertainty of the young Falcons. Do they handle it right? And are you in for a heavyweight fight, a shootout with two offenses going back and forth? Or do those young guys sort of fade in the moment and they don't pace themselves?
Yeah, it's funny because going back to Monday when the NFL had their opening night, you know, the media night, and they had Brady and Ryan up on the stage, and Sal Palantonio asked, you know, Brady, do you have any advice for Matt Ryan? And, you know, Brady was obviously, you know, aw, shucks, I don't have any advice for him. He'll be fine. But if I was him, I would have said, you know, stay out as late as you can Saturday night. Enjoy everything about Houston.
Research has found alcohol actually improves your performance.
It helps you relax a little bit. You know, have as many as you like.
Because the experience factor is something that is tangible, in my opinion, in this game. I think Belichick's right. Week to week throughout a regular season, no, I don't really know that experience matters. It's about execution for 60 minutes. But this game is so much about the 2 weeks getting to the 60 minutes. And, oh, by the way, there's a halftime that's longer than you're used to. So if you handle that not properly and sort of do something different there, I think experience matters. And it's 23 Patriots have been in this spot before, only 5 Falcons.
Right.
Quinn has been in this spot, but not as the man. He was sort of riding Pete Carroll. So experience is a huge issue to me.
Yeah, I agree with that. So what do you think? Tell me what you think is going to happen.
Well, I think the Patriots' offense is going to be too much. And I think we make a lot out of the number one offense against the number one defense, and I think we overlook other aspects of the game. And I think the aspect that's getting overlooked, ironically, is the Patriots' offense, because I think it's so much better than Atlanta's defense. I don't see the Falcons having answers. And maybe we'll be wrong. Maybe the Falcons will rise up, as they like to say in Atlanta. I just don't I don't see that kind of stuff happening. I see Tom Brady has been in this situation so many times. You're not going to fluster him. You're not going to get him off his game. I think if the offensive line plays the way it has for the balance of the season, there's no way Atlanta can stop this offense.
Yeah.
I'm interested in the start. You know, a number came out this week that I hadn't really noticed along the way over the years, but the Patriots have never scored in this run, this Belichick-Brady run, in the first quarter of a Super Bowl. And if the Patriots keep up that trend and the Falcons march right down the field and score, I think it's 8 straight games they have done that on this run they're on, then you got a ball game. Then you have the Patriots chasing a little bit. Maybe Matt Ryan is feeling confident. Those young guys, we got the lead. This is what we do. This is no different. We get leads, and then the defense plays with a lead. You know, Brady talked about it this week. It's hard to see what the Falcons' defense is because you never really – they're always ahead.
You know, exactly.
He didn't see gotta-have-it plays and what they do in those situations because there weren't a lot of gotta-have-it plays for that defense because of the offense. So if you're Atlanta and you can get a lead, I think you can play. If you're New England – and you force Atlanta to punt early, I think that's where you can take control of the game.
Yeah, I think you can rule out a blowout in this game. I think you can rule that out because neither team can dominate the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. That's when you see a blowout. That's not going to happen. It's going to be a close game. Patriots make a few more stops and they win.
Today's show is brought to you in part by WB Mason, the official office supplier of the New England Patriots. Who but WB Mason? Fisher Plows. A whole new way to attack winter. And also brought to you in part by AT&T. AT&T, mobilizing your world.
This week's From the Heart, we look at the running backs for the Atlanta Falcons. One of the more dangerous aspects of a very dangerous offense. Devontae Freeman, 1,000-yard rusher, but can catch the ball. 50 receptions on the season. Tevin Coleman, he gets his chances on the ground and is very dangerous as a receiver. Almost 14 yards per catch on the year. The two combined for 80-something receptions, 24 touchdowns. Test of athleticism for the middle of the Patriots defense. Dante Hightower, Kyle Van Noy, Patrick Chung, safeties, linebackers in the mix covering the running backs, and it's a great option for Matt Ryan to look to when Julio Jones is taken care of. Got to cover the running backs.
Andy talked about how explosive the Falcons' backfield can be, and he is right. But the Patriots have a pretty versatile backfield as well. LeGarrette Blount, obviously we know what he can do. He's the bruiser, 18 touchdowns. Deion Lewis is the scat back. James White catches a lot of balls out of the backfield. All three have touchdowns in the postseason. I think this could be a sneaky, effective way for the Patriots offense to move the football against a smaller, faster Atlanta defense. I think this is a way the Patriots can stay on the field, sustain drives. The running game, I think, could be a sneaky point of attack for Tom Brady in the offense.
Trash Talk, brought to you by Waste Management. Remodeling or just have clutter to get rid of? Waste Management's new Baxter dumpster in a bag can take it on. Visit thebaxter.com for more info.
Trash Talk this week. Biggest game of the year means biggest challenge of the year. Paul Perillo, who faces a bigger challenge, more pressure? Tom Brady in the offense or the Patriots defense?
Obviously a lot of pressure anytime you're in a Super Bowl game, but I think the offense has to score points. I think this is, you're going against the Falcons unit that had scored the most points in football, averaging 40 points a game in the postseason. The offense has to make sure it holds up at the end, its end of the bargain, because you can't put all of that pressure on the defense. Just too much to ask.
I think it's the defense. Number one scoring defense, right? All the numbers say when the Super Bowl is number one offense, number one defense, the number one defense wins. And we've heard all year, Logan Ryan and company have said what? Respect. We're better than people give us credit for. Well, now you have the chance to prove it. Matt Ryan and company, hold them well below their season average. Keep them down around 20 points. Give Tom Brady and company a chance to win it.
Yeah, I think in general the reason why those number one defenses always win is because the offense scores a lot of points, and I expect that to be the case in this game as well. I think the Patriots are going to be up to the challenge, but I don't think you're going to win this game 20-17, something like that. I think that's asking way too much.
15.6 points.
Asking
average.
Way too much of the defense to hold them to 15.6 points.
No, I gave them 20.
I think that would be something that's never happened before. If the Falcons only scored 15.6.
Let them score 20. Keep them around 20.
It's just too,
all I've heard from them, right?
It's too big of an ask.
They have become better and better along the way. They force turnovers. They take advantage of opportunities. They tackle well. They cover well. The pass rush has been opportunistic. All those things are going to be key, and they're going to be tested. But the Patriots have told me all year, and they've shown me all year, they can live up to the test.
I know. Which unit do you think is better, the Patriots offense or defense?
Patriots offense.
Yeah, so they have to play better in this game to win.
I agree on one level. In past games, the high-scoring offense for the Patriots hasn't always lived up to the billing. The defense now needs to live up to its billing, though. Matt Ryan is the challenge. What's the answer?
Offense.
Defense.
Tonight's show is brought to you in part by Ace Ticket, the official fan travel partner of the Patriots. Also brought to you in part by Pepsi, official soft drink of the New England Patriots. Around the NFL is brought to you by Nissan.
Why do I think the San Diego Chargers move to Los Angeles is anything but a done deal? We've heard the announcement and seen a haphazard logo that was mocked by social media, then changed and will likely be changed again. We've seen some small groups of San Diegans burning the Charger gear. We've even heard that a local moving company are refusing to help the Chargers transport their stuff. We even know where the Chargers will temporarily play: the 30,000-seat soccer stadium of the LA Galaxy. Now, after the Chargers made their proclamations, the NFL and its owners are suddenly very upset with the Chargers and that they have grave concerns about two teams in LA. That's some cover your you-know-what, if you ask me. But it also gives the league an excuse to play good guy, pick up the pieces, and try to renegotiate with the city of San Diego. You watch. This story is far from over.
Players Perspective. Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
Joining me now at the Patriots Team Hotel in Houston, Logan Ryan. Logan, big challenge, obviously, on Sunday night. Matt Ryan and the Falcons offense. What jumps off the film for you?
I mean, they're number one scoring offense. They're explosive with the ball in their hands, and They're well balanced with the running game and the passing game, and they got some good players on their side of the ball, much like us.
You guys, obviously, number one scoring defense and taking a lot of pride in what you've done this far, but is it safe to say this is the biggest final challenge for you guys?
Yeah, it's a heavyweight fight, and this is what you want in the biggest stage. And, you know, this defense is primed for stuff like this, and we're working hard each and every day for these matchups. And it's a total team game, so, you know, special teams need to do their thing and offense as well. But for what we have to do is a big challenge for sure, but I don't think we're backing down from anybody.
Team game on defense, but also offensively, people look at Julio Jones, but safe to say they go a lot deeper than that with all those weapons they throw at you?
For sure. They got a Rutgers guy on there. It's pretty good, too. And their other receivers are pretty good, and their running backs are, you know, Pro Bowler as well. So, I mean, extremely balanced. The quarterback's playing at a high level. And everyone's got to do their job, man, similar to our mantra. But this is no bigger case and no bigger stage. If everyone needed to tackle well, run, and it's not going to be perfect or pretty. We don't need it to be. We just need to have more points on the board than them at the end of it.
You mentioned a Rutgers guy, Sanu, your guy, former roommate or housemate.
Yeah.
What's it going to be like when you're on the field with him? Is it trash talking? Is it awkward? Is it laughing? What is that like?
I don't know. I never had to do it at this level. But I'm going to be myself. I'm sure it'll be a ton of trash talking. It's me and him. And we're going to get super competitive and try to play our best game. I'm going to try to play my best ball and do my best. And, you know, if I do that and my teammates have my back, I think we'll be all right.
You obviously have the benefit of experience of a Super Bowl, having played in one before. A, does that help? And B, what will your emotions and energy be when it's time to play?
Well, I don't know. I'll tell you after if it helps, and I'll tell you after what my emotions were. But I know it helps with the whole buildup of the week and the media and all of this. We're used to it. We kind of know what to expect. The days are long. It's a little more interviews and stuff like that. But when it comes to the game, like every other game, they're each their own, you know, story. Last game doesn't help you with this one. We got to come in, focus, not make it bigger than it is, and have a lot of fun.
You've been a guy who's been vocal about sort of the defense, playing with a chip on its shoulder and improving and kind of gaining respect as the season goes on. Does that motivate you? Is that a value to you?
I'm not sure. I mean, respect is earned, not given, so we can't just talk about it. We got to go out there and do it. And I think we've done it so far, but we have one more that we have to do, and then, you know, we'll talk about the respect, you know, afterwards. But it's something we pride ourselves in. I pride myself in. It's never been easy. Nothing's ever been given to me or this defense. We have to earn everything, and hasn't been perfect either. But, you know, I'll take a guy who's been knocked down, is not afraid to get back up. And then you have a bunch of them on defense. I think that's a scary group.
Finally, one of the little stories that came out this week is you have some experience as a scout team quarterback. And yeah. I was wondering, your last name is Ryan. The quarterback you're facing is Ryan. Did Bill come to you at all and ask you to run some plays, show your Ryan stuff?
He could have, but, you know, they need me on the defensive side this week. You know, fortunately in college, when I was a scout team quarterback, wasn't so good at corner at that time, so they didn't need me. So for more of a versatile dual threat, you know, that's more my game. Matt Ryan's more of a pocket passer, so our games don't match up in that. Well, I wouldn't be the best look for the team.
All right. Thank you. Good luck Sunday night.
Appreciate you guys.
Putnam Investments is a proud partner of the New England Patriots, pursuing performance excellence through the power of teamwork.
All right, let's take a look at some of the questions that you sent to the show. This first one comes from Jason Rollinson, and he asked, can you explain the compensatory pick process? How independent is it from the league's senior officials? Is it possible the league could scrap this due to their war on the Patriots?
I don't believe so. I mean, it's a formula that's been in place for many years. It's net free agent signings and losses the previous year. It's all very predictable. There's a lot of sites on the internet that have figured it out. Now, could the commissioner swoop in, I guess, in some world and take a pick away?
He has the power to do whatever he wants.
Right, he's done it before, but I'm not worried about it. They'll get the picks they deserve by the process in place.
All right, Robert Miles asks, are we a better team without Gronkowski and without Jamie Collins? It seems like weird scenarios like this happen from time to time, kind of like Cam Newton being amazing last season without his best receiver.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what happened in Carolina, but the Patriots are not better without Rob Gronkowski as part of the thing. Now, the Jamie Collins thing, I think, is a totally different thing because we've talked about it all year. We don't think that was about football. Something happened. So, yes, I could hear an argument that the Patriots are better without Collins because he hasn't done anything in the locker room that obviously Belichick was unhappy with or uncomfortable with. But Rob Gronkowski, he's a great captain, a great leader, great player. You're not better without him.
All right, Charles Nekomovich writes in, to me, this is the test. And if this defense can hold Atlanta under 28, then they pass it. What is your magic number? Or are you already sold on the fact that this defense proved to be top-notch?
Well, I think this defense has proven it's good, and it could fall on its face on Sunday. Those are sort of independent things. They did certain things for months. They answered the challenge. This is the new challenge. This is the biggest challenge. Is there a magic number? Yeah, you'd like to see the Falcons held in the low 20s, I think. Anything beyond that, you're really asking Brady and the offense to carry you to win a shootout. But it's an independent game. It's one game, and the results of that, we'll see.
Yeah. This next one comes from Franklin Wallace, and he asks, why won't the NFL move the Super Bowl to Saturday? Super Bowl Saturday would allow many more fans to enjoy the full game as Sunday would not be a traditional workday for most viewers.
Yeah, I think what happens here, and I'm no expert on the ratings, but I think Saturday night primetime is not as good a window as the Sunday primetime one would be. Now, I think the Super Bowl might be different. I think people would watch the Super Bowl regardless. And I can understand what his point is, but I just think that it works too well. Football is a game that's played on Sunday. It's not just because I want to just keep doing it because that's the way we've always done it. I think that's the day it should be played. And I think it's already sort of a quasi-holiday on Monday. A lot of people don't go to work. I think you just keep it the way it is.
Yeah. And one idea has been to push it back a week to get into the President's Day weekend so that the Monday would be a holiday. But I think Super Bowl Sunday is Super Bowl Sunday. That's where it stays.
I think Saturdays, you might lose some casual fans that just want to go out on Saturday.
Yeah. Maybe. Mark Bushnell says, correct me if I'm wrong, but next year is Jimmy Garoppolo's last year under his rookie deal. Brady is contracted to the Patriots until 2019. Is it at all possible for the Patriots to re-sign Jimmy and give him the starting job once Brady calls it a career?
It's possible. You can do anything you want if he's willing to re-sign. It's highly unlikely because he has been very open. He wants to be a starting quarterback, and he doesn't want to wait around too long to be a starting quarterback. And that's why you hear a lot of people talking trade this offseason. Another team like the Browns, that information has come up again that they'd be interested in Jimmy Garoppolo throughout Super Bowl week. There's been rumors, but you could do anything. You could re-sign him. He's not going to re-sign. He wants to be a starter somewhere.
All right, that's this week's questions. We'll be back next week for one more, so send them in to AskPFW at Patriots.com.